Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Here we go. It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are just 20 minutes from the expressway. G-Bag of the Day in L.A. Live coming up. Lucius started 5:30. Here's Chief, your football's finest.
If I could get the first thing Brada said when we went off the air in the last segment and the last thing Dawson said before we just went on the air, I would be as happy as anyone in the world.
Wow.
Let's football.
Amazing.
Right after this.
At the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day, just continuing to do that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
Okay, Jerry Rice still got that dog in him. Did you guys see him at the American Century Tahoe Golf Extravaganza?
Yeah, I was wondering,
who
like,
said
this,
that?
Has this happened?
This did. Like 5 years ago,
like,
maybe?
Is this old? Is this like a resurfaced clip that they're using again?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, so it wasn't just me, right? Like, this has happened before with him.
Yeah, that's a fresh one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is a fresh batch here.
Man, he gets really ticked
off.
You
heckle Rice at one of these celebrity golf tournaments, he wants to confront you about it.
What'd he say, Lucius?
Who said that?
Which one was it?
And then the crowd didn't help him. Everybody turned around and pointed at the same dude.
Yeah.
Dude was moving swift, too. He was trying to get on out of there.
Yeah, Jerry Rice needed to have a word. He was willing to walk briskly for about 50 yards to chase down the bleep hole that was just yelling. I think he was just yelling four in his backswing.
Which is funny.
Yeah. That's a good troll. I mean, you should be up for a little bit of that at a celebrity event in the spirit of Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I would think. Okay, of course, we got the Jeremy Fowler safeties list today. I'm surprised Wolchuk didn't hit it in the fix.
Jeremy Fowler's safeties list.
Yeah, we just ran out of time.
We know who number one is, right?
Yeah.
Hamilton, James.
Caleb Downs.
Kyle Hamilton and Derwin James. That's two no-brainers.
No, I mean, it's not no-brainers. Okay, one is Caleb Downs, two is Jalen Thompson. Eric, read a freaking book for once.
I am looking forward to seeing Caleb Downs on this list in some form or fashion next year, maybe simply just as an honorable mention, but hopefully as a top five dude.
My ass.
Hopefully as a top five dude. So, yeah, it's Kyle Hamilton of the Ravens. It's Derwin James of the Chargers.
Okay, but what about Antoine Winfield Jr.?
The surprise is at three with Xavier McKinney.
I've been really wrong about him.
I mean, since coming to Green Bay.
Yeah,
he was average with the Giants.
I thought he was very average with the Giants.
Yeah,
he has done a great things when it comes to like getting turnovers.
Yeah, yeah,
right
the
place, right time guy yeah.
for sure. You have Brian Branch of the Detroit Lions at four, and we'll have to see if that can continue. I think he really splashed onto the scene early on in his career, and then he's dealt with some injuries and things like that.
Yeah, the torn Achilles, right?
Yeah, so we'll have to see how he recovers. But
McKinney, I don't think, is allowed a touchdown. Now, this is, like, subjective. Like, it's based on the nearest guy in coverage. But since 2024, they have not – since he's been the nearest defender in coverage, according to Next Gen Stats, he's not allowed a touchdown. That is freaking nuts.
Yeah, that's quite the nugget right there. At five, you have Jesse Bates of the Falcons, another guy that I think is unheralded. And he was really good with the Bengals for many years, and now he's in Atlanta, and Atlanta had a sneaky good defense last year. And he's a ball hawk kind of guy, so he's still getting a lot of love. But it's number six when you finally get the rookie Nick Emmanuel of the Seahawks. And I thought maybe he would find a way to get up there a little bit higher, but he comes in at number six. You have Antoine Winfield Jr. of the Bucks. Wolchuk, your guy, comes in at number seven. Buda Baker of the Cardinals.
Still doing it, huh?
Still doing it at number eight. And didn't a lot of people kind of do the pro comp for Caleb Downs as Buda Baker?
Yes, he did get comp to Buda.
Kirby Joseph. This one was surprising to me as well.
Friend of the nosebleed seats.
Yes, yes.
We loved Kirby.
And he's got another injury situation like the Lions right now. And
two safeties in here, top nine.
Yeah, but they're both coming off injuries. And I'd be concerned for both of them.
Hey, I picked the Lions to miss the playoffs last year. I think they're getting back to the division championship.
Mm. Oh, do you really?
They're going to bounce back this year.
They're going to win? They're going to win the NFC North?
They're going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
No, just the division.
Okay, my goodness.
Did you know
dude.
It's winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's not the Dallas Cowboys because you have them losing in the NFC Championship.
Wait
game.
To find out. It's only July.
Kalen Bullock of the Houston Texans comes
Shout
in.
Shout out to Bobby. Bobby Bell was in on Kalen Bullock on the draft show that year. I wasn't sure, like, should he play corner based on his body type. Bobby was all over that guy.
Rangy as all hell.
In a non-sexual way.
You have Jalen Petrie.
That's USC kid, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Jalen Petrie, who's a guy that I thought would be a top 10 dude for sure. He's the first honorable mention.
But
that
been was the banged first, up, right?
He has been banged up. That was the first fight I think Brian ever had with the Omens.
Yeah.
On the draft show on Jalen Petrie.
You liked him or you
kinda
didn't?
Called him
I
out
loved him. And Kyle is a Baylor alum. And I called Weird. Him out. I'm basically like, what are you talking? I mean, he was totally.
He was S-ing on the player.
He was kind of booing on him a little bit.
He was booing on him. I'm like. Kyle, really? Yeah.
Well, he's one of the prototype nickel safety kind of dudes.
Yeah. He's that star dude.
Always around the ball, always tackling, could play coverage. I mean, I didn't know what Kyle was watching.
Yeah, he might not have watched.
Well, now, have you guys seen the NFL teams? Now that you have all the top 10 lists out for each position, the teams with with the most players in the top 10? Okay, this will be a little
fun.
Well,
the Lions have got to be up there.
Okay, we got the Lions as a good pull, Walchuk, because they lead the league. With nine players. The Lions have nine players that
Damn.
NFL people think are top 10 at their position.
Okay.
You said the Texans brought us.
Yeah.
They come in at number four with six top 10 players at their position.
Rams?
Eagles?
We got the Eagles as number two.
Oh,
they have
gross.
The Eagles still are considered to have eight players that are top 10 at their position. So. I mean, that's pretty top heavy.
Was the last one they're not doing, like, punters and kickers?
I don't think they're doing punters. They're doing football players.
You don't think they'll still have eight
mouth.
Next year, do you?
No. No, I do not. I do not at all. Let's see. Any other guesses for teams? You guys want to lob any more out? Somebody said the Rams.
The Seahawks.
The Seahawks not in the top 10.
Okay.
They just ram it?
The Rams are actually tied with Denver, Baltimore, Dallas, and San Francisco with five players on their roster that are considered top 10 at their position.
Chiefs end up being on here?
Chiefs come in at number three with seven players that are top 10 at their position. And I think that would be a little bit surprising.
That's an upset, yeah. Because Kelsey still made it.
Yeah, Kelsey still made it, so he's getting a bump there. I don't know that he actually is a top 10 tight end.
The top three teams, they're not the strongest teams. They're like solid playoff teams probably. I don't know if the Chiefs are even going to make the playoffs. But I think it goes to the Seattle team-building model of we don't want to be top-heavy. We just want to have a high floor at every position across the board.
Yeah, I think that is definitely a part of the deal here. I mean, even the Rams, they have five players that are considered in the top 10 of their positions. And that's tied with the Cowboys.
And probably just added two of them.
Yeah, exactly. They just added it, and they were still unbelievably dominant last year. So, yeah, just an interesting thing to look at, and it's the Lions, though, that lead the league with the most top 10 players. And I do think offensively they will, as long as they can stay healthy on the offensive line, they were just – ravaged with injuries last year, but if they can keep their offensive line healthy, then the Lions offense is going to be super legit. George Kittle with the Achilles is ahead of schedule in his rehab and has a real chance to be active for week one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little Niners injury update for you. And then I saw this. You mentioned this guy the other day, Dawson, Ryan Paganetti.
Yeah, the former Eagles, and I think he worked for a couple of other teams, analytics guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's blowing up on social. I'm trying to get him on the show, actually. I've already been in his DMs, and I got one reply.
Okay.
He said he's being overwhelmed with requests right now.
I can only imagine, because he's taking the Twitter world by storm for football fanatics. This guy's got a lot of interesting nuggets. But one of the ones that I thought was funny, he tweeted this out yesterday. He says, one of the NFL's funniest traditions is a new coach taking over a team and removing the fun from the locker room or facility, right?
Okay.
We see this all the time.
It's the kind of analytics I'm looking for.
This is my kind of analytics.
Yeah.
He says he found 20 reported fun removal cases since 2001. Okay, you get a new coach coming in, they're like, all right, we gotta up the professionalism in here. Get the ping pong table out, get the papa shot out, and let's get serious. So there's been 20 times since 2001 that this has happened. And he breaks it down from off-season to end seasons, because sometimes you have the middle of the season where they're like, okay, we're sucking right now. We got to fix something. Let's get the fun out of the locker room midseason. And he's trying to figure out, does it actually work? And so for the offseason, where you're a new coach coming in the offseason, you're changing the landscape and the dynamics of the locker room, and you remove fun things, 8 of 9 teams improved that year, going from a combined 49-96 the previous season to 74-71. So in general, when a new coach comes in and takes the fun out of the locker room in the offseason, sets a new standard, it has proven to work 8 out of 9 times. Wow. That team got better. Okay.
Wow. And I feel like Shoddy is increasing the fun. He calls it competition.
Yeah, that's right.
We're
that's
fostering
right.
competition between, you know,
yeah, every
position group,
something competitive.
Free throws, putt putt, thumb wars.
Realistically, he's leaning into the focus. He's not on football.
But in season,
crap.
5 teams improved, 4 actually got worse, and 1 team stayed even. So he says the lesson is, if you're a new coach, you can take away the ping pong table. But if you're 3-5 in November, removing the distractions may just be another distraction.
It's like a desperation move.
It's
like the Easter egg bunny or whatever the Eagles did.
Oh, the blow-up bunny for the Eagles is an all-time just ridiculous disaster.
I mean, I like an analytics guy that's willing to have fun with his content. Let me start by saying that. I would wonder, like, if he was going to turn his critical eye to it. Are there other factors with new coaches coming in?
Yeah.
Of course not. This is the only thing that matters. It's the only variable that matters, dude.
This is all about the ping pong and the pop shot.
So we'll look for the next coach who replaces Shoddy to take away all of his fun stuff. And there's about a 90% chance you're going to improve significantly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that you can take to the bank.
Air hockey?
Well, he listed out a bunch of the different things. I'm not seeing any air hockey. A lot of ping pong tables, a lot of papa shots, video game consoles, dominoes, pool tables, shuffle boards, cornhole, that kind of stuff.
Probably have to remove the grab ass, you know, from people like Micah and Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
We thought that was so funny.
Yeah, we know Mike and that grab ass.
Slap ass.
Okay. Now, I think, Broadus, if you know this.
No, I don't.
I just don't want you to say anything.
All right.
But football or ball sack?
Okay, Patrick Mahomes.
Pat Riley was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that.
That's football.
That's football.
Anybody who knows football knows that,
that's
Eric.
Football.
Did you know that, Dawson?
No.
Pat Riley was drafted by the Cowboys?
So why'd you ask?
I did not know that Pat Riley, the NBA legend across decades and decades and decades.
Hell of an athlete. I couldn't have told you what position, but I didn't know that he was drafted by the Cowboys.
In 1967... he was selected in the 11th round as a wide receiver, even though he hadn't played college football at the University of Kentucky. He was a standout high school athlete
Gil
in
Brandt
multiple
special
sports.
Right there.
Wow.
That's a Gil Brandt special.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered, so it happened in the same year that the San Diego Rockets picked him 7th overall in the first round of the NBA draft. Of course, Pat Riley chose to go the basketball route.
Be a Rocket.
But I had no idea that the Cowboys drafted Pat Riley. That's a fun trivia question.
Yeah.
When you're sportsing it up with your buddies.
Absolutely it is. And I could see him being pretty good. He seems mean enough to be a football player.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know exactly how tall he is, but he's got to be super tall.
6'4", 6'5", at least.
Fade route that guy.
Okay, we got the Expressway G-Bag of the Day in LA Live coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the fan. Yeah, buddy, here we go. It is time now to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top. G-Bag of the Day here is coming up at 5:30 and then LA Live at 5:40. Are we back to playing baseball already here with the Phillies and the Mets?
This game got moved up due to weather.
Okay. Well, Rangers will be back in action tomorrow night. The pregame will be hitting at 5:30, Friday baseball in Atlanta. The expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. Couple of important announcements expected in the world today. You have one in the news world coming up tonight. Today, everybody was gathered around to see what LeBron would have to say with Tyrese Halliburton on his Mind the Game podcast.
And Halliburton asked him, is there a decision that still has to be made? Just minutes into the program, about 5,000 people had gathered in front of the stage at the Javits Center and literally said, LeBron said, we literally talked about this in the back, reiterating that his team would not be expecting this to be on the agenda for discussion. So
yeah,
it was kind of a ball sack, a little promotion. And, you know, no payoff for you. Tim Ream went on Pat McAfee, said it's disbelief. It's trying to put together and understand what had just gone on because it was the polar opposite of the way we had played up to that point. I think the feeling in the room was shock and trying to understand where and why we had the game that we did. You know, I tell Abby and I used to tell my players, if you play 20 games, 10 are going to be about average. 5 are going to be like, wow, I played great. And 5 are going to be like, I want that one back, you know. And maybe your focus and your consistency can get high enough that you can whittle that number 5 down to 2 or 1. And certainly, you know, Michael Jordan used the psychological trick of making up stuff that people had said about him because he was aware of that. You know, maybe not the exact numbers I had. But as competitors, you know, the worst possible time to have your worst game can be devastating. And it was for Team USA, but I don't think anybody that had been watching them over the last year was that surprised. This team has laid some massive stinkers over Mauricio Pochettino's entire, you know, run, and that's why I had reserved optimism going into the tournament because I knew that the longer they played, the more likely it was they would put out, you know, their worst possible performance, and it came against Belgium. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to take anything away from Belgium. Belgium beats us every time they score 3 or 4 goals. It's just, you know, where they are, and it's unfortunate. You know, I was talking with somebody on Twitter about Tim Ream, and you can say thank you, Tim Ream, for being, you know, the best he could possibly be and trying his hardest, but at that age, just not equipped any longer. And he had 2 or 3 embarrassing moments. It wasn't just the goal that blocked off of his shin into the back of the net. It was falling down. It was being late to adjust. And you know, close down the ball in several occasions. So I don't think many people were surprised. We're just hoping that over the next 4 years they can find a more complete roster. Story in the morning news about the state legislature considering a change to Texas high school football NIL rules. The angle of the piece is coaches are saying it'll kill the game because coaches won't want to participate because of the stress and mental health stuff that's already coming along with it. Already every year there is a 20% attrition rate amongst high school head coaches, and a lot of them say the stress and mental health challenges of the pressure are just too much. I don't know. What do you guys think? Would it kill the sport? How much would it change high school football as we know it if these kids could get a little NIL bag?
I just think that we got to draw a line somewhere with this, you know, and I don't think that this needs to be going into high school. I mean, there's got to be some, I don't know if it's like purity is the right word for it, but it would be a mess. I mean, you already just had Colton Nussmeier can't transfer from Flower Mound Marcus to Denton Ryan because it's specifically about athletics. It's an athletic transfer. He thinks he's got a better chance to win at Denton Ryan than he does at Flower Mound Marcus, and they just said, no, you can't do that. You're eligible to play if you want to go back to Marcus. You can't play if you want to go to Ryan. You start doing this NIL stuff with donors, and it's just going to be you'll have this happen all over the place. And I think you'll probably end up having a few premier schools that have the funding, whether that's Prosper, whether it's Allen, Highland Park, maybe DeSoto, Duncanville. I would hate to see it. I really would. I think at some point you still got kids need to be able to be kids, and they shouldn't be just used as like treasure troves to get money.
I think we should draw the line too, but I think we should draw it like 12. You know, I like people being paid for what they're doing, especially, you know, if somebody's making money off of it and you're out there, you know, and people are coming to watch 5,000-6,000 people in the stands, you know, I don't think the rest of the world has a problem with it. I think it's like something that we created, this idea of amateurism. And I think we've been conditioned to value it, but it's an arbitrary value.
So high school kids can move whenever they want, or they can
This is
go.
NIL. This specifically is NIL.
But I mean,
that's what it would become, right?
That's what I'm saying. Because
I think it'd be like college.
I think to me, if I would understand NIL, if the kids have the opportunity to move, if they don't have the opportunity to move, don't you have the haves and the have-nots? Don't you have the programs that clearly can come up with money and other programs that are, you know, much poorer, or the schools are poorer, or that you can't pay these kids? So, I mean, you got a kid that maybe some of the great success stories are kids that maybe are a 2A school or a 1A school, then all of a sudden you'll get an opportunity. But is it fair for them? Are they going to get paid? You know, if there's NIL money, I mean, but you're saying, well, you can't leave. You can't leave Grosbeck to go play at South Lake Carroll or something like that. Am I getting this wrong? I mean,
I think they're two different ideas. You know, there's the unlimited transfer portal, and then there's NIL money.
Yeah, okay, but I'm saying, though,
I think NIL plus unlimited transfers would create the haves and have-nots, handful of super teams.
Yeah, well, I think the really good kids would then go transfer to the schools that have the NIL money.
The money, that's what I'm saying. Right?
Like,
yeah,
but couldn't you keep in the transfer rule like you have it now, like it can't just be for sports reasons? And then the kids are staying in their district.
Then all of a sudden you're going to have lawsuits for right to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
just like the NCAA. Be,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you're
the UIL will be powerless.
It's going to end up being the same issue.
Yeah, the kid at Grosbeck's going to say, wait a minute, you're not allowing me to go make money at South Lake Carroll? Or Carroll? I'd say it wrong.
It's only, yeah. They no, you said it right. South Lake Carroll.
Yeah. But Carroll, yeah, I thought they changed or shortened their name, or they didn't want to be called something anymore. But anyway, but that's what I'm saying. I just wonder if you told me that kids are going to be able to move without any penalty or anything like that, I guess your NIL stuff would work.
Yeah, it would be just the same system as college.
Exactly.
And I think the coaches are going to complain about it and stress about it, and it sucks for them. You know, maybe the income goes up, and it's changed the college football landscape, but I don't think it's made it worse. It just made it different.
I would,
but plenty of coaches have been able to find a tremendous amount of success.
I would like to see this. I'd like to see this, and this might be completely out of bounds. If you're a 4 or 5 star recruit and you get an opportunity to go play at Alabama, I'd like Alabama to give money back to that high school.
Oh yeah,
almost like a thank you for developing this kid.
Yeah,
kind of a thing. And if all of a sudden, you know, if you do get, say, after a year, then a kid turns into the kid turns into Downs or something like that, where like his freshman All-American or something like that.
Yeah.
That like that college gives money back to the high school's athletic department.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like there's some kind of like a little bit of a, you know, just something to help these high school coaches, you know. Grambling was this way. You know, the coach came out from Grambling talking about, he goes, I'm going to find these kids and I'm going to lose every single one of them with no
retribution
to me or to our program.
Yeah.
I am going to go and I'm going to find players and after a year they're going to be gone.
Going to find them, going to develop them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now, the South Lake quarterback's going to be making more than his history teacher.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah.
is a huge problem.
For sure. Why is it a problem though?
Because the teacher should be getting paid.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
It's their job. These are high school kids.
The teacher doesn't do something that makes 6,000 people show up and cheer.
Well, maybe that's a problem.
He teaches something that like 25 kids are forced to go to. You're providing value to a market. People are making money off of it. It doesn't matter what your age is.
They're not making money in high school like they are in college.
Oh, how are they building these stadiums? We got to go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius Alexander with your G-Bag of the Day.
Come on, bro. Come on.
I just sat back in my seat. I'm just listening to this conversation. It's very interesting. I like it. Maybe I was born maybe 20 years too early or something.
Put on a shoe.
Late, whatever the hell's going on.
Box of cash. Trans Am for you.
Yeah. Come on, bro. All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 530, fueled by East Dallas Diesel Motor Cars, eastdallasmotorcars.com. Going for four today is our very own Mr. Mike Bassick. Man, y'all could have kept that conversation going for real, bro. For real. Maybe we need
to double
back. I
start to feel bad at 31.
By the way,
Lucius. 33.
Man, I sat back in my seat, bro. I was like, well, let's see where this goes.
It is.
For your record, Lucius.
The longest serving senator in U.S. history, Robert Byrd from the great state of West Virginia, 51 years.
West Virginia.
51 years.
Vote that man over and over. That's all they know how to vote for. Yeah. Does anybody else run against him?
No, he was the longest serving. And the current one is Chuck Grassley from Iowa.
Okay.
He's 44 years. Back to you, Bush.
Already far. All right, going for four today is our very own Mr. Mike Bassett. He's broadcasting on the TV side of the game with the Texas Rangers, but he's to work here, and he's to be a major league pitcher. That's why he is willing to do anything to keep Wyatt Langford in the game.
Wyatt, what can I do, what can we do as Ranger fans to keep you healthy the rest of this season?
I don't know. I mean, I'm doing everything I can, so that's my goal. I'm going to want to play every single game for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, I'm going to go home and get on my knees for you because, man, do we need Wyatt Lang for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Get on my knees for
on
you.
On my knees.
For you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Now, I had this one yesterday, but I played the wrong clip. Let's go to Australian Football League. Australian Rules Football.
Yeah. Aussie.
Something a little different right there. I'm not for sure what's going on with the Australian rules football game. Looks kind of like rugby, though. What is it? The Fremantle Football Club.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of dudes on the squad with the same last name, and the broadcaster has a little tongue-in-cheek fun with that.
The other Cox came in over the two. Gee, there's a lot of Cox out there tonight. Dean, Mason, and Brennan. And two of them involved in the process then. To win that high footy. Reed short ball. Chapman.
One more time, hold on.
One more time, playboy.
The other Cox came in over the two. Gee, there's a lot of Cox out there tonight. Dean, Mason, and Brennan.
There's a lot of Cox out there tonight.
Oh, no.
Gee. All right, let's see what else
Fremantle,
we got.
Fremantle, by the way, Lucius, is like really good in this thing. Like 17 games, they're 15-2.
Do they come on ESPN?
Yeah, it used to be an ESPN, like, you come in at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And Australian rules football, it's fascinating.
I pay for that all access on ESPN.
Yeah.
So I try to watch everything that comes up. I'm watching like high school track meets. I'm watching Division III track meets. Yeah.
There's the Sydney Swans, the Hawthorne Hawks.
Mm.
They've got Geelong is a team.
Geelong
is a team. Yeah, so it's pretty fun. Pretty fun thing to watch.
Let's go to UK Radio, Talk Sports Live. They're crashing out over the World Cup loss over there in England.
Yeah,
now you can almost accept it.
I know.
You're playing against Argentina. Yeah. You can't sit off for 25 minutes against Argentina. No. He absolutely bottled it. Thomas Tuchel's cost us the World Cup. He cost us the World Cup. We're 1-0 up. Played well first half. All right, cagey affair. We go 1-0 up. Be brave.
Be brave.
Be brave, Thomas. This is what we brought you in for. We brought you in for this moment. We got rid of Southgate because he bottled it. Because he weren't brave. We brought you in for now to make that decision. We're 1-0 up in a World Cup semi-final. Bring on Rashford. Bring on Saka. And if they score, they score.
Yeah.
But at least we're going to go down fighting. At least we're going to go down with some pride. We fell out of the World Cup in disgrace because of him. Because of him.
Because of him.
And we brought him in for this job. This is what we brought him in for, to get us over this line. And it's the same old England. Same old crap. Same old guff that I have to watch every tournament that we're in. And it's the manager's tucked us up again. Tucked us up.
Tucked us up.
I wonder what that means. Is that like bleeped us up?
Tacked. Tacked. He did tactics.
Tacked us out.
Okay. He tacked us out. He brought on all those defenders. He tacked us out.
I'm fascinated by how the English use their own language. And when they mess it up, he weren't brave.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say this. I cannot wait to the Cowboy pregame show this year. And Eric, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to go, they need to be brave today.
Yeah.
Be brave today.
Otherwise, our coach is going to get sacked.
Yeah.
don't tack yourself out.
Don't tack us out of this. Yeah.
682, devaluing teachers isn't exactly the way to ingratiate yourself to your audience there, sport. Not
sports.
Devaluing teachers.
Sports.
I'm just teaching you about the economics.
Sport. I use this all. Sorry, Josh. I had to say sport.
It's supply and demand. Teachers are a service that we get for our taxes, you know, and we don't value them enough. We should pay them more and get better. But that's what society does with teachers. right? I'm just talking to you about bringing services to market that people want to pay for. And yes, the 16-year-old quarterback has a lot more pull than the middle-aged math teacher. And yes, education is more important than sports, but guess what? Our world cares about sports more than education. So just because we can talk about what it should be doesn't mean the kids should just not get paid for being part of an incredible economic machine. And it's, you know, it's disappointing. You guys can't understand that.
Yeah.
Especially calling me an idiot.
Lucius reminds me of Pandemic teachers. Radio.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Some critical thinking
we were
skills.
Pandemic Radio.
Yeah, just going up.
Now, that was beautiful, man. A nice rant with Frankie Knuckles in the background. I never expected that. The song is called The Whistle Song.
Oh, man.
I appreciate that, there, Mr. Dawson.
Great rant. Sorry. Sport.
Sport. Yeah, sport.
Guy.
Man, dude, don't call a man sport in an argument face-to-face. Don't do that.
God, that's bad.
Tell you what, sport.
I've used that so much in tweets.
You call people sports? That's so passive-aggressive, dog.
It's so condescending.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, pal.
It's like putting your finger in somebody's chest when you're talking to them.
Buddy.
Yeah, pal. Hey, it is a ladies' night. Let's go to the WNBA where a degenerate gambler goes off on Minnesota Lynx guard Courtney Williams.
Uh-oh.
He left some voice notes on social media.
Oh, no.
Because she ruined his parlay, in a sense. So, yeah, he left her a note, and she responded. She responded.
That's a voice message. Hey, bitch. You don't play for Chicago, so I can't even come to a game and smack the shit out your ass. But listen, though, motherfucker's putting hard-earned money from my job on your ass for you to get 2 assists, bitch. And your ass out here, you only got 1 assist. How the f*** is you a point guard? So I hate dick ass bitches, gang. You out there, you ain't scoring. You ain't rebounding. F*** is you out there for? Goofy ass bitch. No, I'm going to take a trip to Minnesota and smack your ass.
Oh, there she comes.
You broke ass bitch, you. Don't get out my motherfucking DMs, you broke bitch. I ain't even click on your page and you look dirty as f***. Ugly ass boy, now you getting blocked, you little broke bitch. I hope I lose you some more money.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, the gambler's going at the WNBA ladies right now.
Yeah.
Quite a few. They lose their parlay, they attack the ladies. There's one dude like getting in trouble with the feds right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, he's done for. Canceled.
Uh-oh.
You got to be able to own your losses.
You got to take your L's.
Yeah. Don't wager more than you can afford to lose. You know? And then if you do lose, can't blame it on anybody else. Or you're a bad person and a bad gambler.
Bad person. Bad person.
Sport.
Bad
you're gambler. Absolutely a bad
sport.
Bad person.
Sport.
Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor and politician, Mr. Frederick Douglass Haynes. This is a praise and worship service right here. And they're saying that this dude has a very creepy change up in his voice. Huh. That's him. No reason at all to do this.
Wow.
Golly, dude.
Why'd he do that?
I'm always thinking about these pastors that you play for us because they don't seem to have their finger on the pulse of being a great entertainer, you know? To be a long term pastor, you gotta have some presence, don't you? You gotta be cool, the coolest guy in the room.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And not all of them can pull it off, but before they fail, I'm glad that you capture them.
A lot of Jester Gooners, man.
Yeah, not the time for that
Jester
party
Gooners.
Trick. Yeah.
Yeah. I like my pastor with diamonds and gold. Big car.
Big car.
Yeah, big car.
Jet.
Yeah, all of that good stuff.
Righteous Gemstone style.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Baby.
Put the money in the plate, and you're like, I hope he gets him something nice.
Yeah.
Cane with jewels on it, maybe?
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah. He's dazzle cane. $1,000 shoes.
Yeah. Oh, they said that last clip didn't make it on air. Boo.
Oh,
I don't know why they didn't make it on air there. Definitely played it, player. That sucks.
Maybe listening on the stream?
I don't know.
We're getting a few texts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Huh.
Boo.
Okay, we got Mikey B on his knees for Wyatt Langford.
Yeah.
We got Australian Rules Football League. We have UK Radio. Thomas Tuchel has cost us the World Cup. I mean, they got to the Final Four. It was a hell of a run.
They sure did.
Yeah. They were 15 minutes from winning it.
Yep.
I don't know if that's the manager's fault, but he definitely tried defensive tactics, and it, you know, football fans are very familiar with that prevent defense, and when it doesn't work, it can get a coach fired.
You're going to be the scapegoat.
Degenerate gambler goes off on Courtney Williams, musical pastor, with an unfortunate voice change.
If you heard it.
Yeah. I'll go with Mikey B. Chief, how about you?
UK Radio.
All righty, Lucius.
Big Mike.
Wolchuk.
Yeah, you got to stick with Mike.
Brian.
Yeah, I'm going to go with UK Radio, so it's 3-2, right?
By a score of 3-2, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Mike Bassick. Tune in tomorrow at this time to see if he goes. Well, we won't get it tomorrow, will we? Because we'll have Rangers pregame at 5:30.
That's right. Yeah.
So tune in Monday to see if Mikey B goes five times.
See if Mike puts something up to compete against his own clip again.
Well, he's not going
to
be on the call.
Oh, that's right. He's gone. Oh, that's right.
But he is going to be on KNC tomorrow.
Yes. Good call.
Okay.
Good call.
Don't put it past him. It's time now to stay in the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has some L.A. Live.
It's a ladies' night edition of L.A. Live right after the great Rick James. Amen.
Well, all right, you squares. It's time you smoked. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance to some of everything.
America has a lot of problems right now, but we're not focused on the real problem that America has, which is women in their 20s have too much confidence. I'm sorry. I support women, but we got to back this shit up a little bit, ladies, okay? I was hanging out with a comic and his girlfriend, both in their 20s. A couple of her friends come out. They're all in their 20s. We're at a bar. We have a few drinks. We get a little silly. One of her friends gives me like a half boob flash. Looks me dead in the eyes and goes, I bet I'm hotter than your wife. Oh. Yeah? What do you say to that confidence? I was like, yeah, maybe you're 22. You're not hotter than my house and kids. I have a 3% mortgage. You think I'm going to risk that on f***ing you? Are you out of your goddamn
mind? I have a 3% mortgage. That's well said.
It's a pre-COVID mortgage. What are you doing right now? What are your tits made out of? Custody? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. More on you ladies later. More on you ladies later. This is LA Live for Thursday, July 16th, 2026. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live. Welcome in, boys. Shout out to all the Tolo ladies that listen to this here station. You are appreciated. Find me on Facebook, ladies. I'm at my friend's limit, but I'll find a way for you. I'll find a way for you, I promise. LA Live is brought to you by Metro Flow Plumbing. Shout out to those blue collar ballers over there, baby. Now, ladies, what's going on? What's going on this summer, fam? It's hitting a little differently this summer. I'm going to tell you what, dog. I've been outside a little bit this summer. From the kickbacks to the barbecues to the day parties to the concerts to the clubs. Yes, LA's been to the club a few times this summer, and even the brunches. And I have yet to see one sundress.
Uh-oh.
I have yet to see one sundress. The vibes are off a little bit. A few summers ago, like, the women started wearing these onesie spandex situations. Look like little wrestlers running around here like Kurt Angle. I know y'all seen that little vibe, right?
Yeah,
I know y'all seen that. Yeah, absolutely. The singlets. Yeah, the singlets. Like they do some wrestling.
The singlets, yeah.
Yeah. Now, for like two or three summers in a row, the women have been wearing jorts.
I see these jorts. Baggy jorts, man. Yep.
Instead of the sundresses in the summer, they're wearing jorts and sneakers and Timbos.
What happened to this country?
They run around here looking like John Cena now. The ladies.
They don't want to be seen.
They don't want to be seen, man. Looking like Adam Sandler on the court. We got to restore the feelings, lady. We got to restore the feelings. Hey, did y'all see that there's new broadcasting guidelines for women's athletics?
Yes. Yes.
What do we got?
The European Broadcasting Union and the European Athletics released a 23-page document called Raising the Bar. It's called Raising the Bar. urges broadcasters to avoid low-angle shots, lingering close-ups, and slow-motion replays that unnecessarily sexualize the athletes. So slow-motion replays, you get that little jiggle.
Yeah. I mean,
trying to see who crossed the finish line first.
Yeah,
trying to see who gets a good fair start.
It's weird because I think
making sure this race was above board.
The men's game shows maybe more graphic stuff, you know, but only when it's happening to the women is it time for protection. Mm. Like you get these dudes sliding in their soccer shorts with their junk just jiggling around in those shorts. There's not a lot left for imagination. Mm-mm. A lot of cheek.
I'm with you.
But I'm a little uncomfortable when they have the college softball on and they go through the dugout and it's just a lineup of butts. Like, here goes the camera down the dugout. It's like, I don't know if I'd want my daughter's butt just,
you know? They do that in Texas and they line up like cheek to cheek. And the cameraman is just like, I know my assignment right now, dog.
Yeah.
Volleyball.
Very tight.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of Reddit pages and little aggregate sites that are going to have no content to do if this takes place here in America.
They're going to give us the college volleyball tournament just from the waist up from now on.
Some people say the track girls should put on shorts and not have those little track athlete things instead of the camera angles being changed.
What are the gymnasts going to
mean?
Yeah, gymnasts.
You know?
Those shorts are very inappropriate.
What, the shorts? They don't even wear shorts right now.
Track shorts.
It's underwear, bro.
With
a logo on it.
Like tight boy shorts.
So, sure, you know, but... I mean, the dudes have been doing the same thing. So my issue is socially, like, why was it okay when the men were being? I guess because the women don't say it like we do. They're not as thirsty as we are, you know, or willing to vocalize it as much. Right. So they need the protection when they're thinking the same thing, you know,
maybe more so.
Maybe more.
Well, you think it's coming to America soon? You think we won't stand that?
They're probably going to make sure the viewership numbers don't tank.
No, we like our sex symbols here in the States.
Yeah, we sure do.
Just look at a WNBA walk-in before a game.
I do watch them. I follow a Reddit account that just shows just walk-ins.
Are they doing the jorts? Are they doing the baggy jeans?
Some of them are.
These gals have kind of figured out like they can wear vests with no shirts, but leave the vests open. So they're like, they wear nothing under the vest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're walking in. They stop. I mean, they know when they're about to get onto the
like a red carpet,
and they stop and they get ready, and then they take off and do their walk.
See, my question would be like, who's making these rules? Who wants these rules? Because I think a lot of the young gals want to be seen. You know, look at their Instagram pages. They're not trying to hide their bodies.
No,
trying to show them off. It's probably old crusty dudes with daughters like me who are like, "Hey, get this stuff off the TV, okay? This is inappropriate."
It is.
Or old women that are jealous.
That's too cheeky.
Yeah, you know, nobody wants to look at me anymore.
Very cheeky.
So it's unfortunate, but you know, I'll continue to watch.
Consider the monitor.
Yeah.
All right.
I enjoy the women's sports.
What do you think is the scariest thing that could happen to you on a first date? What would be the scariest thing?
Spilling your food on yourself.
Oh. Wow. That's so scary. Oh my God. Wow. Okay, I'm gonna ask you. As a lady, what's the scariest thing that happened to you on a first date? Getting murdered. Thank you. That's the correct answer. Okay.
LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Ladies' night. A Pennsylvania woman is facing stalking and trespassing charges after police say she repeatedly targeted a man she met online via a dating app following just one date. She started stalking this dude after one date. No woman has ever made me feel this special, by the way. She tracked down his home, broke in through a window, and get this, Shorty was later caught outside with a bottle of wine and some ice water.
That's bizarre and creepy.
Yeah. Let's go to NBC Philly for this report real quick, fellas.
They had initially contacted each other about 6 months prior on a dating website.
the male decided not to continue the relationship, but I guess the female wanted to continue it and came to his home and not only broke into the home, but had a bottle of wine and water ice ready to enjoy an evening with this guy who was completely shocked to come home and find her standing outside of his house looking at him through the sliding glass door and immediately called 911.
NBC 10 spoke to the victim off camera. He says for weeks things had been moved around his house and appeared to be out of place. And he did not give Harris his home address.
She's up there cleaning up too while you wasn't there, fam. This might be the one. You probably shouldn't have called the cops. This might be the one. She's stalking you after one date. How did that date go? I have to hear her side of the story at this point.
Yeah, this guy's Prince Charming.
One date? She's breaking into your house with wine bottles? We're like, please, let's try it one more time.
I'm sorry.
Fatal Attraction style, though. You got to be careful, man. I mean, I think Shia LaBeouf just dealt with something like this.
He did. I don't know if she actually was stalking him, but he thought she was.
Yeah.
And this lady's kind of cute.
Oh, for how old?
She's on a cute scale.
Is this like young individuals?
Yeah, I would say that. I wouldn't say they're in their 20s, but...
Younger?
Yeah, younger.
I mean, she brings booze.
Mm.
She's breaking through the window, bro.
She broke into the window. She's probably been in your house before moving stuff around.
Rearranging?
After one date.
That's really
bizarre. She's a psycho. He must have got the double rhino.
Bro, he got... That's what I'm saying! That's what I'm saying!
He hit it out of the park.
He put it around his wrist like he was showing off a watch. I'm telling you.
With all due respect.
First night, baby. First night.
Yeah, is this like kind of a... Is this a notch on the belt for this guy a little bit?
It has to be.
Like, I am that dude.
Like I said, no woman has ever made me feel this special after one night.
No.
Yeah. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. I'm out, y'all. Peace.
I think if you put had a stalker on one of your dating profiles.
That'd attract them more.
I think it would.
Yeah.
I think they'd be like,
oh you poor baby.
Must be something special. Yes. Please don't stalk me.
Yeah.
I've had crazy troubles.
Yeah.
It's really gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
You know, these gals getting obsessed with me. We got four down, one to go. Round tripper coming up next, Wolchuk.
Let's do it. An MLB rule change I'd like to see, and let's get you ready for the second half of the baseball season next in the nation.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.